Remembering and Helping. I'm Ron Jordan with local news from WGNS. The Sigma Alpha Epsilon fraternity on the MTSU campus will hold a special benefit for their fraternity member who died of bacterial meningitis. Members of the fraternity will be hosting a benefit this Sunday night, September 23rd, from 7 to 10 at the Boulevard Bar and Grill for Jacob Nunley's family. The Boulevard is at the corner of East Main Street and Middle Tennessee Boulevard. We're told that 10% of the sales will go directly to Jacob's family. The fraternity will also have an auction and raffle on Sunday night. All proceeds will go directly to the family. News brought to you by Dr. Mark Kester, Chiropractic and Acupuncture Center on Broad Across from Chevrolet of Murfreesboro. Dr. Mark Kester has treatment options to get you better faster and keep you better longer. Call 895-1253 to set up your free consultation. Middle Tennessee State University unveiled Wednesday an innovative federal judicial system reporting project that will allow students to be immersed in daily coverage of federal law enforcement operations in Nashville. Seven students from the College of Mass Communication will spend 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, supplying coverage of the U.S. District Courts and other federal entities for publication by the Tennessean in its newspaper and website. They'll operate out of the Tennessean's newsroom for the semester. The effort will be known as the Siegenthaler News Service, named by MTSU, in honor of journalism icon John Siegenthaler, who worked closely with the university, federal court officials, and Tennessean executives to create the hands-on learning opportunity. The Best Buy store in the Avenue in Murfreesboro burglarized on Tuesday morning. A group of individuals used stolen vehicles to force their way into the back door of the business. The thieves took hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of electronics. So far, the suspects have not been caught. It's suspected the same 8 thieves broke into other stores in other areas. The stolen cars used in the heist were recovered at Carrington Park Apartments. I'm Ron Jordan. You're up to date. This is WGNS News.
This is FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Right now that time, 8:14, we're talking lawns and gardens this morning, and Mitchell Moat from the Tennessee Agriculture Extension Service is joining us today. Mitchell, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you, Scott. How are you?
I'm doing good. I love this weather.
It's fine. Boy, it's, you know, this kind of stuff that makes life worth living.
That's right.
Get up out of bed for, you well, bet.
Let's go ahead and take a phone call. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Yes, sir. If I was planting grass seed, do I need to throw the straw over it to plant it, or can I just throw it out there and with all the dew and stuff on it, it'll take a hold?
Well, if you're planting it onto bare ground that doesn't have any vegetation or anything else on it, then the use of a little straw is, I think, is a real advantage to do that, because it's going to help hold moisture around that grass seed, which is the critical thing to get the seed to germinate. You know, it's got to imbibe enough moisture to swell the seed, and that's going to initiate germination. The seed just laying out there on the bare ground has a tendency to dry out more readily than that it is covered with a light mulch of straw. But yes, if you're sowing it into like an existing turf of some sort, whether you've killed, say, a big patch of crabgrass or whatever the case may be, but you've still got that dead plant residue there, you know, that can suffice as a kind of mulch. But the key is to put the seed in contact with the soil, not just laying on top of, you know, dead vegetation or whatnot. It needs to be in contact with the ground itself. So generally, if you're sowing into an existing turf, whether it's old dead plant material or whatever, it's a good idea to do some kind of cultivation, whether it's a core aeration or slit seeding or whatever, to put the seed in contact with the ground.
And who are we talking with this morning so I can get you a gift certificate for grass seed?
Yes, sir. My name is Keith Forbes.
All right. Well, just stop by the radio station and you can pick up that gift certificate.
Okay. Thank you much.
Thank you for calling. We'll head to line 3. Good morning.
Hello, Scott.
Yes, sir. How are you?
How's you and Mitchell doing this morning?
Good.
Hey, I want to ask Mitchell a question there. Back here when it was, I don't know, about a month ago, I reckon, I put a pear tree and an apple tree out. It looked like they'd done good for a while. And I watered them pretty good and all, but now it looked like the leaves just come off the apple tree. Will they come back, or did I water it too much, or what happened?
Well, it's not uncommon for any sort of a deciduous tree, like whether it's a fruit tree or just an ornamental tree like that, when you put them out in the hot weather, you know, a month ago we were in August and it was still right hot, for them to undergo what they refer to as transplant shock and to shed those leaves. So, you know, without knowing more than what you just told me, I would say that that is likely what happened. And if that's the case, then you would expect it to come back out next year when the new growing season begins. But you need to, you know, the water situation, too much is just as bad as not enough water. And, you know, a weekly watering is probably sufficient on a plant like that when you put it out. The key is to water deep enough so that, let's say if you dug an 8-inch hole to put the 8-inch deep hole to put the tree in, well, you need to water that full 8 inches, water go down that far. And it doesn't need to have such excess water in there that holds around the root zone, the root ball that you planted, because that'll, you know, keep it deprived of oxygen and those roots will die. So that's something you've got to monitor, and I don't know how much water it takes because, you know, every little piece of ground is different. There are variations in them. But it sounds like you're just suffering from transplant shock, and there's a very good chance that it will come back.
It had rag, you know, like around the bottom.
Yeah, it was a ball and burlap plant, yes.
And the pear tree, it's still doing real good, and it even bloomed, had a few blooms on it.
Yeah. They'll do that, but just going on what you described, it sounds like it was maybe a case of transplant shock, and if you continue to care for it during dry periods, go ahead and let it have some water. Even during the wintertime, when it gets dry, the roots still need water on those new trees like that. Then I would expect it to come back out.
Okay, I need to ask you one more question.
Okay,
the electric company come out and they cut some of my trees, and a couple they put two more up. And one of them died. When would be the best time to call them? Let them put me with nothing up.
Oh, shoot. Any time between now and Thanksgiving would be a fine time.
Now and Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Okay. Appreciate it, Mitter.
Yes, sir.
Who are we talking with this morning so I can get you a gift certificate for grass seed?
Okay. James Reed, RWD.
All right, James. We'll just stop by the station and pick that up.
Appreciate it, Scott.
No problem.
Thanks again. Bye.
Head to line one. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Yeah, I've got a couple banana trees that I planted this year, and I've had some people tell me that, you know, they dig them up every year and put them underneath the house, and then my neighbor, he just cuts his back and covers it with a bunch of mulch. I was just wondering what's the best way to go with that.
The best way to go. Well, I would think that for me, the best way would be the easiest, and I'd think that cutting it and then covering it with mulch was easier than digging it up and replanting it every year. I mean, either way, you're protecting the plant from the freezing conditions during the wintertime. And both of those methods can be successful. And now, you know, depending on the plant that you bought, now they have developed banana plants that show the ability to survive some relatively cold weather. Now I don't know which one you have, but it may not need a lot of additional care in order to protect it from the cold. But to be safe, if you don't know whether it's rated for that cold, for that kind of cold hardiness, then pruning it back like that and then mounding it up with a good layer of mulch is a fine way and is certainly an adequate way to provide that protection from cold damage.
Okay, I do appreciate that.
Yes, sir. And who are we talking with this morning so I can get you a gift certificate?
This is Ben Wood.
Ben Wood. All right, Ben, we'll just stop by the station and we'll have that gift certificate for you.
All right, thank you.
All right, no problem. And that's going to do it for the gift certificates. We are all out. Our number, though, if you want to call in and ask a question, is 893-1450. Let's head to line four. Good morning. Well, I guess they wanted the grass seed.
I guess so. I guess that would know where we stand in that regard.
That's right. Right now the time is 821, temperature outside 52 degrees. In this type of weather, is it perfect to do just about anything with your lawn? Or are there some things you don't want to do?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, Scott, because advertisements are on now, you know, seed companies and so on. Or, you know, fall is the time to plant your grass, and some of the big companies are running radio ads and TV ads and so on to that effect. And I know just here recently a local realtor had an article in the newspaper about fall lawn care and so on. And, you know, generally what they say is true, but it's true up to a point. It just depends on what kind of grass you're talking about, because we need to remember that we have basically two types of grass that people in Rutherford County maintain as a turf in their home lawns. You either have a cool season grass or a warm season grass. Well, in all honesty, most of us have a mixture of both of those. But they're two very different grasses. They're all different species. But what makes them cool season and warm season is their growth habit and their seasonal growth. For cool season grasses, and that they make up the majority of what's being maintained in lawn settings in Rutherford County and Middle Tennessee as well. Those are things like tall fescue, bluegrass, those that grow well in the spring and well in the fall, and then they suffer during the hot, dry spells that we run into during the summer months. Yes, right now is an ideal time to do renovation kind of work, just normal maintenance activities on those, such as overseeding to plant a new grass seed to thicken up a stand that's been thinned out due to the stresses of the summer. If you want to, you don't need to overseed, but you want to do some fertilization. Fall is the time that you're going that we suggest, recommend that you do the majority of your fertilization on cool season grasses. Aeration, if you're going to aerate the lawn for a cool season grass, fall is a great time to do that. The reason being is that aeration, especially if you use a core aerator, the one that pulls those plugs of soil out of the ground, and by the way, after the rain on Monday, the soil is in excellent condition to be aerated because there's enough moisture there for the aerator to work well. It can penetrate to its full depth and pull those plugs out.
And I guess you can rent those aerators.
Oh, yeah, you can rent them. You have the rental types or both the walk behind as well as the pull behind. And, you know, from an expense standpoint, if a person is going to, try to do a good job tending to their lawn year after year, it might be worth the investment of going to one of the hardware type stores, home improvement stores, and purchasing a tow behind model. But, yes, you can certainly rent them, and it's just up to the individual. But the act of aeration does cause some physical damage to the grass because you are ripping plugs of grass out of the ground. You're injuring stems and tissue and so on. So it needs to be done during a good growing time when the grass has a good opportunity to recover. For cool season grasses, now's a good time to do that. Same thing is true for dethatching and so on. But if you're talking about warm season grasses, Bermuda grass, zoysia grass, those are the primary ones that you're going to see here. Now's not the time to do any of those things. You're not going to plant any of those warm season grass seeds now. You shouldn't fertilize your warm season grass now. We don't suggest fertilization past the 1st of September on warm season grasses. You shouldn't do any severe mechanical cultivation, such as core aeration or dethatching, on those warm season grasses now, because it does cause physical damage, and there's not as we don't have that much time between now and the time that they're going to go dormant for them to recover. Those warm season grasses, they need the high temperatures, plus they need those foot candles of sunlight. And the days are getting shorter, and that triggers their growth change from full growth into dormancy. They're starting to slow down their rate of growth. They're not going to grow as fast, so if any damage that occurs now, they don't recover as rapidly from that. So that's the thing to keep in mind. If you've got a cool season yard, boy, yeah, you can do about anything you need to it right now. It's perfect time. If it's a warm season lawn, unless you're going to overseed it with some ryegrass so that you have winter color, then you really don't need to do anything else other than just continue to mow it as it needs it during this fall time of the year.
Let's take another phone call. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Yes. What I'm wanting information on is the old-timey hedge that grows so rapid and hardy, and I'm needing something to kind of understand or information that you may give me of something to speed it up. I need it for privacy and security. and I'm putting out, I've got hedges to dig up. Do I dig the smaller ones or the bigger ones and then cut them? I cut the top, cut them down close to the ground. Just the general information, I'm on zero of how, I know they're hardy and pretty fast, but I wanted to do all I could to speed them up for the purpose of privacy and security.
Okay, well, I assume you're talking about a privet hedge then. If you,
I think it is. I call it the old-timey.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
Once it gets started, it goes everywhere.
Right. Right. Well, I, you know, usually you don't need to encourage them too much because they do pretty well by themselves. But how long have you had it started?
Well, I've already got some hedges that were put out some time back, and they're, of course, doing great. And,
okay.
But they were a little slow at first. I don't know whether I'd done something wrong, put them too deep, or one person said you need to get the young growth, one person said you get the old growth, and then cut them off about 3 or 4 inches above the ground, then they rip off. But just your general information, I just wanted to get a little speed out of it.
Okay.
Which they're pretty fast anyway, but sure. I wanted to get a little speed.
Well, I mean, they tolerate pruning very well, and, you know, generally they're going to respond well to they'll initiate a flush of growth after pruning is done. You know, fall is a good time to do pruning on those plants like that.
Yeah.
I might wait just a little bit longer, like till I get up into until I get into the genuine fall season. You know, we're just about there, but you know, possibly even late October, early November time period to do a lot of heavy pruning on that. Now, on those that are already established and been in the ground for a little while, fall is also a great time to add some fertilizer to those things.
Yeah, and that's what another question I wanted to ask you. What type of fertilizer do you put on top of the ground?
Okay.
And when you're putting out new roots, can you put that in ground with the roots?
Nah, when you're planting new, when you're digging a hole to put a new plant in the ground, we don't suggest that you add fertilizer to the planting hole. And the reason being is, number one, I mean, if you get too much in there, you don't get a good separation between the roots and the fertilizer. You can cause some root burn, but also that first little while, it needs to concentrate on, you know, getting over the transplant shock and developing a root system into that native soil around it. And the addition of fertilizers, especially if you've got very much nitrogen in there, makes the plant, you know, it encourages the plant to try to put up vertical growth, you know, above ground stem growth. And it needs to really be focused more on root development during that first time. So we suggest you don't do it then, but after they've been in the ground for a season, then in the fall of the year is a pretty decent time to do that. And as far as the kind of fertilizer, there's nothing magic about any of it. Without knowing anything about soil conditions, without you having a soil test done, I could make a general recommendation of using a complete fertilizer, such as, for example, Triple 13. Just a general ag-grade fertilizer. I mean, it doesn't have to be Triple 13. It could be Triple 15. It could be Triple 10. But just a general fertilizer. And, again, without knowing anything about the soil fertility level, I'd go with a 1-1-1 ratio, just, and that's what those, you know, triple numbers are, a triple 10, triple 15, triple 13. And that just means they have the same percentage, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. And, for a good growing shrub like that, that these privets, you know, they respond pretty well to additional fertilization. It doesn't take a lot to do that. You know, you're probably talking about, gosh, how many feet of shrub are we talking about? How many feet of hedge? Are we talking, you know, 30 feet, 50 feet, 100 feet?
Oh, I'd be running maybe 2 or 3. I'm out in the country. I'd be running maybe 200 or 300 feet of line.
Of hedge? Okay. Well, yeah. Then you're going to use, somewhere in the neighborhood. Let's say if you went with Triple 13, you'd probably be looking at anywhere from 5 to 10 pounds per 100 feet of hedge. It doesn't take a huge amount, and that can be broadcast on top of the ground. You know, if you do it in front of a rainfall event, that's going to help it get down in the ground. A soil test would tell you more specifically what you ought to do, but it's just from a general recommendation. That's what
yes,
I would suggest.
I understand. And my last question,
okay.
And I do appreciate
sure
your
thing.
Time.
Sure thing.
My last question, some of them that's already got age with them.
Yes.
And they're grown stout. Some of the trunks are as big as your arm, and
yeah.
That suits me because it makes the security. But
good sturdy, yeah.
Does it to help to make them even muscle up more just to throw fertilizer on top of the ground before rain, for those to muscle up more? Kind of. That's not a good way to explain it.
Well, no, but yeah, I understand what you mean. You're talking about growing in diameter and adding just dimension to it and so on. Well,
I fall. Just wondered if it done any, if it was a plus, probably is.
Yes, sir. I mean, they're going to benefit some from that. But, you know, once they are established and would reach what you would consider to be a mature size, they don't need a lot of fertilizer. But an annual application either in that late fall period or the kind of the late spring, you know, one of the two, you probably don't need it both times. It would be a pretty decent time to do that.
Yes. I got a high respect for them for the purpose that I'm using them for.
Sure.
They are hardy.
Yes, they are.
You don't have to talk to them, and then they grow.
No, I mean, most people, if they do any talking to them, is they tend to swear at them a little bit because they do grow so fast, and they tend to want to move, get over in places where they didn't want them. But so,
that's true.
But they're a good stout plant, and they should serve your purpose very well, I think.
Yes. I've already had experience down through the years. I'm just having more trouble with security, and I'm in the country, and
yes,
it's
sir.
Kind of a preventive of okay. Well, I do appreciate y'all.
You're very welcome. Yes, sir.
And,
anytime.
Thanks again.
All right. Good luck to you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for calling. Our number is 893-1450. We're going to take a short break, and that leaves an open phone line for you. Again, 893-1450.
Today's Lawn and Garden program is brought to you by 5-Star Fescue Blend Grass Seed. The phone lines are open. Dial 893-1450. Want a greener, longer-lasting grass? Try 5-Star Fescue Blend Grass Seed and grow a lush, green lawn. 5-Star Fescue is a top-performing, long-lasting, cool-season grass that is time-tested for color and growing conditions in the South. If you have had trouble growing a lush, green lawn because of shade, drought, or the wrong grass, then 5-Star Fescue Blend Grass Seed is your answer.
Pick some up today at Kelton's on Old Fort Parkway near Gresham Lane and ask for John.
Hello, this is Lisa Halliburton from Bell Jewelers. Colored gemstones express your personality with color. Our gemstones are all natural, not man-made. From blue sapphire, vibrant ruby, green amethyst, orange citrine, to black onyx, excite your mood and your wardrobe with a collection of colored stone jewelry from Bell Jewelers.
Visit Bell Jewelers on Broad across from Toots.
Play it again, sports!
Your football headquarters.
From Under Armour, Shutt, and Reebok, we've got all the gear you'll need for youth football. From pants, helmets, pads, down to the gloves and mouth guards, you'll find everything you need at Play It Again Sports on North Thompson Lane.
Good morning once again. Still dealing with an accident, I-24 at Haywood Lane. That is in the clearing stages, but still lots of congestion for folks trying to make their way in from Rutherford County into Davidson County. Find an alternative this morning. We've got I-24 at 96, I-24 at 231 with lots of congestion. Broad at Church, Broad at Memorial, still lots of buildup through there. This weekend, it's the National Flea Market at the Tennessee State Fairgrounds, where you'll find antiques, vintage crafts, collectibles, and much more. Rain or shine, it's Tennessee's largest flea market this Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm Randy Bryant with traffic on WGNS.
That update brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Introducing Progressive's exclusive Snapshot Discount, a program that tracks your good driving and rewards it with discounts. Find out more at progressive.com. Again, that's progressive.com.
Taylor Guitars are here at Music World and Drummer's Den, South Church Street, across from Indian Hills Golf Course. Taylor Acoustics are the top acoustic guitar line in the United States, and in fact, in the entire world. And this is a great compliment to our Paul Reed Smith electric guitar line, which is a premier line worldwide also. This is Dave Kivanimi inviting you to come over to Music World in Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, across from Indian Hills Golf Course.
Weather Eye.
For the forecast area today, plenty of sunshine with a high of 80. We'll have a south-southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Clear skies tonight and a low of 54. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Thaluber.
Right now, 52.
If you're passionate about restaurant management and committed to service excellence, Demas's is looking for managers like you. Demas's Restaurants, family-owned and operated for over 20 years, has a well-established reputation as an amazing dining experience with the highest quality and service standards in the industry. Demas's Restaurant is committed to one thing, customers, which is why our business has continued to grow during slow economic times. Demas's will teach you everything you need in order to be successful. Go to demasrestaurants.com and click on Work at Demas's to apply.
Good morning. The time, 8:37. Temperature outside, 52 degrees. Mitchell Mote is with us this morning from the UT Agriculture Extension Service. How long has the Extension Service been here in Murfreesboro? A long time.
Well, just a couple of years ago, we celebrated our 100th anniversary. I don't know how long it's been here. I can't answer that.
Now, a number of years back, you were located in Old Fort Park. How long ago was that?
We moved from the Old Fort Park location to our present location in December of 2003. We moved into the Old Fort Park location. Our office moved into the old Ag Center building out there in, I believe it was in 1996.
I remember... Square Dancers used to meet there once a week and clog.
Yeah, the Cripple Creek Cloggers and the Rutherford County Square Dancers, they met out there and practiced.
Do they meet at your new location?
No, I'm not sure where they meet now.
Can you rent out some of the areas inside your new location?
Yeah, the auditorium, which is capable of seating a couple hundred folks, there in the main office complex is... it is available for rent by the public. And then the community center building, which houses the farmer's market. I forget now how many thousand square feet. It's several thousand square feet in that building. It's available for rent also. And both the auditorium, it can be broken. It can be rented as an entire room, or it can be divided into three rooms, and an individual room could be rented within the auditorium as well. And then in the community center, there's this. It's broken into half, but it's not truly balanced. You know, one side is larger than the other. The garage doors that line both sides where vendors bring their stuff in for the market and so on, one end has five of those bays, the other end has three of those bays. So they're not the same size. You know, one side can be rented, the other side can be rented. There's a small room, a classroom in the center, you know, for 30-odd people that could be rented. So, but, yeah, those spaces are all available for rent. They are. And speaking of the farmer's market, let me throw this out here right quick. Our Pat Whitaker will have my hide if I don't, because she asked me to be sure and mention this. Seasonal eating, this is a series that Pat's been doing this year. There at the farmer's market where she has a program on foods that are in season. Her next session of that is going to be next Tuesday, September the 25th, and it will be at the farmer's market. It'll be in the small classroom I just mentioned that's out there in the farmer's market from 10 till 10:30. Recipes, tasting, testing, that sort of thing. Going to be featuring apples and fall foods. It is free. Reservation is not required. But that's from 10 until 10:30 next Tuesday, the 25th, at the Farmer's Market, the seasonal eating program with Pat Whitaker.
That sounds good. Our number, by the way, 893-1450. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Yes, good morning. I want to ask you a question about the knockout rose bushes. Is there anything special that you need to do to preserve them for the winter? This is my first time to have any.
Okay. No, you can treat them just like any other rose. They're a good hardy rose. You don't have to do anything any different for one of those than you would any of the other roses.
I mean, do I cut them? I don't cut them, prune them back or anything. I don't just leave them set. I don't cut them back.
Yeah, you will. You can certainly, and they will probably respond well to pruning. Not probably, they will respond well to pruning. You don't have to do it now. I'll admit, you know, I stand before you a sinner. Sometimes I don't prune mine until next year, and I, you know, unless I change my mind really very soon, that's probably going to be the case for this season as well. I won't prune them until in the late winter, early springtime of 2013. But now there are folks who will prune them after they have pretty well shed leaves off and so on. And you know, they'll especially if it's a relatively small rose, they'll prune them down pretty short and then cover them with straw and so on, you know, okay. Just to keep them protected.
Cover the roots up and the base of it with straw.
Yes, ma'am, they'll do that, but and other people won't do that, and they both have good luck.
Oh, okay.
So, but it's certainly okay to prune them now, or not right now.
It's got such pretty blooms.
Exactly. Wait till after the blooms fade. You know, after a hard frost, you know, folks will do that. But you don't have to. I mean, you can wait and do it next. Well, I say spring, you know, late winter time, in February, early March time frame is when I tend to do it myself, but other folks will do it at different times, and they have equally good luck.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling. Our number again, 893-1450, 893-1450. The farmer's market is coming up, what, tomorrow?
It is tomorrow, yeah. The farmer's market is still running Tuesday and Friday mornings from 7 until noon. Both 2 days a week. There seems to be a good supply of greens and potatoes and squash and just all manner of things. I mean, some of those summer tomatoes, gosh, they're still in abundance. Okra, I know vendor there Tuesday, he had a lot of okra. Onions, some of that sort of thing, you know, they're still in good supply, and you know it's going to continue through the last Friday in October, first Friday, you know, I forget now just when the season changes, but at some point they'll go into their winter mode, and we'll be open on Sunday afternoons up through December. I think that's it, that you folks can look at that on our website. I don't have a lot of daily dealings with the farmer's market, so I tend to let that slip out of my mind.
Hey, I know Anthony Tuggle was on last week, and he was talking about how heavily regulated it is in making sure that the farmers are actually growing their own produce.
Well, yeah, it's a producer's market, and the goal is for a vendor that sells there to produce the produce that they sell. And I know Janie, the market manager, does a pretty diligent job about, you know, trying to police that. She schedules visits and goes to the growers' farms, and you know, not nearly all of those are here. They're from out of county, you know, Cannon County, Warren County, Coffee County, places like that. And she goes to the farm to see that if they say they're growing watermelons, they've got watermelons out there.
Do they have to be in Tennessee?
Does the grower have to be in Tennessee? I don't know that that's in the policies of the market or not. I can't imagine them not being in Tennessee. I don't know that it would be an unusual circumstance, I think, for someone out of state for it to be you know, worth their while, just from a transportation standpoint, to bring it into the Rutherford County Farmers Market from out of state, if they were growing out of state and transporting it in. But again, if it's producer grown, probably so. But again, I can't say that with all certainty because I don't know.
Hey, what else is happening right now at the Agriculture Extension Service?
Oh, well, it's just, you know, a time of the year when people that are looking at doing maintenance work on their lawns and landscapes. A lot of questions about that. You know, a lot of questions regarding insect pests that are still out there, and weed control in these lawns and so on before they try to do overseeding. Questions about planting shrubs and trees, ornamental plants. By the way, from an ornamental standpoint, you know, we're in that season right now when if you want spring flowering bulbs, now is a pretty decent time to do that. Any time between now and actually this winter is a good time to do that. Dividing perennials, the fall is a good time if you need to divide things like peonies, other perennial plants. It's a good time to do that. So, you know, just a lot of questions, folks seeking information, seeking assistance, troubleshooting some things, things that they have a problem with the diseases on apples. Boy, they've got these apples and they're out there on the tree, but doggone it, they all have rotten places in them. Well, what's the deal here? What do I do wrong? What do I need to do? You know, just helping folks with situations like that.
Do a lot of people bring in samples from the yard?
Yeah, lots do. I think yesterday I maintain a log of that. I think I had 7. Individuals with samples yesterday, with things that, what is this weed? What's causing these spots on this, the foliage on this hydrangea? You know, things like that.
Do you have like a laboratory there? I mean, what do you have to work with these samples?
Well, we do have we call it a lab. We got a couple of we have a dissecting microscope and have a compound microscope that we're able to look at things pretty closely. We don't culture anything there in terms of growing say culturing a fungi that's causing a particular problem and growing those that fungi out, to identify the specific fungi that's doing that. We say it's a lab per se.
That would be interesting. I mean, you always have different samples coming in. It'd be kind of fun to look at them all.
Yeah, it is. It's very interesting. Have a lot of references to refer back to, to compare what you're seeing there back with particular disease symptoms to ensure that they do match up so you can get a pretty accurate diagnosis. And, we don't know everything. It's, we're not always able to say with 100% certainty that is what it is, and so in cases like that, we have a distance diagnostics program or a system where we can take some pretty good high quality digital images of say an insect or of the disease symptoms on some foliage of a plant, and then can transmit those to entomologist or pathologist. Plant pathologists to get their opinion on that, to see if they agree with the diagnosis or to offer a diagnosis. Matter of fact, did that yesterday with some pole beans. A fellow had some pole beans, and it appeared to me that he had root knot nematodes on the beans. The roots themselves had large knots on them. They didn't do very well, and that's certainly what it looked like, but I wanted another opinion on that and sent it to the pathologist, and he shortly replied back that he concurred with that. Those symptoms were pretty classic of root knot nematodes, so it's that's a good ability that we have there. I think it helps to ensure accuracy, and also it helps with turnaround time on some things. The actual physical sample doesn't have to go to another location a lot of times because we're able to capture pretty high quality digital images and transmit those to the experts.
Right now the time is 8:50. We got to take another short break, but when we come back, we'll get to your phone call at 893-1450.
Does your home have foundation problems? Bricks cracking, doors sticking, basement walls bowing, floors uneven, or water problems? Where do you turn? What name do you know and trust? Call United Structural Systems at 227-2275. For over 17 years, United Structural Systems has stabilized, restored, and guaranteed over 5,800 homes and businesses in Middle Tennessee. We know that you, like our customers, want a restored home, a lifetime guarantee, and the peace of mind that United Structural Systems, a locally owned company, will be here for you. Call United Structural Systems today at 227-2275 or visit them on the web at usstn.com. United Structural Systems, known best for being better.
We'll guarantee our best. Call USS.
Hi, this is Tina Fox at the Rutherford Farmers Co-op Farm and Home Center. Don't forget, this is the perfect time of year to help those lawns. We have all the grass seed and lawn care that you would need. We also have a new clothing line in. We have some of the Under Armour clothing. It's also the great time of year for you to start thinking about those Christmas gifts, so come visit us at our gift department. And also, don't forget your little feathered and furry friends. We have a great bird and pet department. Co-op Farm and Home Center on Middle Tennessee Boulevard, just off of South Church.
Over the years, I've gotten to know the folks over at Bell Furniture. Perry Bell and Linda Ferris treat you fairly. You save about half price at Bell Furniture. And Bell Furniture only offers American-made furniture. I believe in that, too. So if you're looking for a bedroom set, recliners, sofas, they have it all, half price every day, at Bell Furniture. 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna. And it's
American-made. For the forecast area today, plenty of sunshine with a high of 80. We'll have a south-southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Clear skies tonight and a low of 54. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Thaluber.
Right now, 52.
Want a greener, longer-lasting grass? Try 5-Star Fescue Blend Grass Seed and grow a lush, green lawn. 5-Star Fescue is a top-performing, long-lasting, cool-season grass that is time-tested for color and growing conditions in the South. If you have had trouble growing a lush, green lawn because of shade, drought, or the wrong grass, then 5-Star Fescue Blend Grass Seed is your answer.
Pick some up today at Martin's Home and Garden on Broad Street across from Demas's and ask for Joshua.
Now, more than ever, start your mornings with WGNS. The Action Line with Bart Walker, weekdays at 8:10. Truman Jones is on weekday mornings at 9 on WGNS.
It is 8:53. Mitchell Mote is our guest today from the UT Agriculture Extension Service, and we only have about six or so minutes left. So let's remind the folks about the Tuesday event, Pat Whitaker's special event.
Okay, next Tuesday, the 25th of September, at the Farmers Market will be Pat's seasonal eating program. And that focuses on utilizing foods that are in season. And so Tuesday the 25th, her program will be from 10 until 10:30, and it's going to feature apples and other fall foods. It will be at the farmer's market itself. You don't need reservations. Just show up there a few minutes before 10 and get yourself comfortable and be ready to sit back and enjoy and maybe taste some treats before it's over with.
Now, will she be showing how to properly grow some of these fruits and
vegetables? No, not grow, but to utilize the finished product in food preparation, you know, in various recipes and so on.
And so a lot of recipes will be talked about.
That's my understanding, yeah. I have not participated in one of her classes yet. I haven't had an opportunity to, but Tuesday may work out well for me to do that.
You guys do a lot of classes there.
We do. We have a lot of classes. The winter in fall and winter time, early springtime, is when we focus more so on those educational sessions, you know, the various schools, classes and trainings and so on. And then during, sporadically throughout the summer, but in the summer months is when we tend to do more work with homeowners and growers and so on, with assisting them with solving problems and providing information, the information that folks are needing in order to do a better job at whatever it is they're trying to do.
How many people are out there working at the UT Agriculture Extension Service?
You know, Scott, I have to sit and think about that and count it up, but somewhere in the neighborhood of 18 to 20 is how many are out there. you know, like for instance, the farmer's market manager. Well, she's on maternity leave right now, so she's not there on a regular basis. And we have some folks that are, you know, working various programs. For instance, the FNET program, the Expanded Food Nutrition Education Program. Got a couple of, three individuals that work with that, but they don't work full time. Just, you know, so many hours a week they're involved with that. So you're probably not going to see on a daily basis that many all there in the office at the same time. But if everybody were there at the same time, it'd be somewhere in the neighborhood of about 20 folks.
Now, you also have people to go out and work with the schools, the county and the city schools, I guess, on different programs?
Yeah, and well, it's a lot of FNIP programs. Some are aimed at youth audiences. Some are aimed at adults, and some of their programs focus on the parents and children together, those nutrition programs, nutrition education programs, and then the 4-H program. It's a youth program, so, yeah, it's for those kids and, you know, school-age children.
4-H programs have been going on for years. You got a lot of participation in that?
Yeah, there's, I think right now, probably they're doing as good a job as they've ever done in terms of the offerings and just the quality of the program and the just the opportunities that they're affording the kids, the young folks here in the county and in the city as well.
And I guess that starts in elementary school, or does it start?
It does. Begins in the fourth grade. In Tennessee, 4-H eligibility begins in the fourth grade, and it runs through high school.
So there's other 4-H groups in other states. It's not just a Tennessee thing.
Oh, yeah. 4-H is was really an international program, but it is in the 50 United States, several territories, other countries as well.
Is it geared mainly for people who want to grow up and be farmers, or
no.
Is it for all people?
No, it began that way in 19 whenever it was, a long time ago. And yeah, that's where it sprang from. But as times have changed, it has changed. The majority of, they have just for example, the Rutherford County 4-H program, some of the activities they offer, if you will, or focus areas, you know, project areas, they have a digital media group. Well, I mean, they're learning to use cameras and recorders, making short movies. You know, things like that. They do that. There is a cooking school, a young, in multiple sessions of cooking, food preparation, and so on. Dog care project, an engineering project group where they do all manner of things. They have a rocketry project group where they build and, you know, fly rockets, so just a lot of different things.
Sounds great. Mitchell Mote has been our guest today from the UT Agriculture Extension Service on John Rice Boulevard. If somebody has questions for you, what is the phone number out there?
Phone number is 898-7710.
Sounds good. I guess we'll see you next week, or is Anthony going to be here next week?
I have to look at the calendar, but one of us will be here, I'm sure.
Sounds great. Right now the time is 8:59. Temperature outside now at 54 degrees, actually 52 degrees. We'll get a check on the weather next, and then after that, local news with Ron Jordan.
For the forecast area today, plenty of sunshine with a high of 80. We'll have a south-southwest wind around 5 miles per hour. Clear skies tonight and a low of 54. I'm WGNS meteorologist Mandy Feluber.
Right now, 52.